give you ourselves today. Thank you for your holiness. Thank you for your righteousness. Lord, we come before you confessing our sins, that, Lord, we are not all that we should be. Lord, we continually need your cleansing. And so we come as open books before you and pray, Lord, that as we confess, as we think of the sins that we have committed, those things that haven't honored your name, both in word, in deed, in action, in thought, Lord, we bring them before you. Lord, cleanse us and make us to be whole before you. We know we stand not by our own righteousness, but only by yours. So, Lord Jesus, we pray that you would come, fill your people again. Lord, we thank you that you are indeed the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, our sin. We thank you that we can come to you in our brokenness, in our weakness, in our sickness, and know that you are there for us. We pray today, Lord, that you would work within the bodies of these your people, that we would be whole before you. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. I don't know if you've seen this magazine out in our foyer area. It's actually our Alliance magazine, and it's our spring-summer copy, 2017, and it's all about healing. And the Christian Missionary Alliance is all about healing. On the PowerPoint slide there behind me, we have the logo, which represents Jesus Christ as Savior, Sanctifier, Healer, and Coming King. Those four emblems mark us as the Christian Missionary Alliance. So our president of the Christian Missionary Alliance, Dave Hearn, actually wrote the opening article in this magazine. And there's an amazing amount of articles in here from pastors as diverse as ones that come from Portage La Prairie, and I was amazed because that's where I was born, in Portage La Prairie, so I was interested in reading that article. But I wanted to read you just the opening article from Dave Hearn and encourage you, you know, when you see that magazine out in the foyer, to go and pick it up, or you can read it online. Look up the Christian Missionary Alliance, Alliance Life magazine. You could also get a subscription to it. It's free. It can come to your door. Or it can come to the church and you can pick it up here. He says, a cornerstone of Alliance theology and thought is the firm belief in supernatural things and a supernatural God. One of the powerful manifestations of this belief is in spiritual, relational, emotional, and physical healing. Over the past 8 months, I have personally seen more people filled with the Holy Spirit and more people healed than in any of my previous years of ministry combined. Recently, I received the following email from a woman in one of our Alliance congregation. She writes, due to a traumatic incident in my past, I had suffered with pain in my back for 42 years. With age, my scoliosis became worse, and because of this spot, I could not fully straighten up on the left side, as the pain that there caused me to pitch forward in order to relieve it. After being prayed over, the pain disappeared. I was planning on waiting for a week to see if the pain had actually left before telling the news to my small group. A friend who overheard part of the prayer came to me on Wednesday night saying, "You have news for me, don't you?" At first, I didn't know what she meant. She was excited and pressed on. "You were healed, weren't you?" I playfully scolded, "Shh, I haven't even told my husband yet." I told my small group the news that evening before our prayer time, and the pain was still gone the next Sunday. And so I shared the news with my pastor. and he had me share it with the congregation. Praise the Lord! Dave Hearn speaking again. I've determined to enter every ministry situation with a deep expectation that God will show up in a supernatural way. In the following pages of this magazine, you'll be invited to witness God's power to heal in a variety of situations. And so this magazine, again, is just chock full of testimonies of people's healings and God's working in their lives. So healing is for today. Healing is for God's church. As we come again to the book and the Gospel of John, we're wanting to focus again on this chapter 4. Pastor Jim speaking to us last week on the story of Nicodemus. We come to Jesus in the story of the woman of the well in John chapter 4. In this chapter, we find Jesus encountering the Samaritan woman, traveling through the place of Samaria of all places, because Jews were not to travel through Samaria because they were seen as people that were quite unclean and not worthy of being associated with or any involvement with them. The Pharisees actually saw these Samaritans as ones that were not good in any way, and so should be avoided. There was actually three different ways Jesus could have gone to Cana of Galilee from where he was situated. Three different ways, but he chose the faster route through Samaria, not going around Samaria, but going directly through Samaria. His popularity had been mushrooming. Jesus left Judea for Galilee, and then in this geographical area, I think significant, not just because of its geographical positioning and him having to travel through it for as straight as the crow flies getting to his destination, but rather it's a theological significant point, because I believe that Jesus wasn't just for the Jew, but he was for all people. And really, this is the beginning of the cup overflowing, overfilling. This is the gospel reaching out to even those despised by the Jews, the lowly Samaritans. And they were despised because they practiced their worship in Mount Gerizim rather than going to Jerusalem. They were seen as idol worshipers. And so here is Jesus in the midst of this place, offering and seeking water of life. And we don't experience it much here in Vancouver because we're such a wet climate, but knowing Jesus' place and the arid climate that he came from, he got very thirsty, and he needed some water, and so he came to the Samaritan woman at the well, and his disciples had gone into town to get something to eat, as the story goes, and you can read it there in the beginning of this Gospel of John, chapter 4. And Jesus was looking for some water, and he wanted that water. I'm just going to pour a little bit here out on the stage here. I'm sorry. Yeah, I see the outlet. I'm not just going to pour it into the outlet there. Water, right? We see so much of it here in Vancouver. Jesus hadn't seen it, and he was thirsty. He was parched. And he asked the Samaritan woman for water. Water. And the woman said, "You're a Jew, and you're asking me, a Samaritan, a woman, to give you water? How is that possible?" Overcoming the barriers. Going past all convenience and all kind of decorum. You, a Jew, asking me, a Samaritan, for water. And Jesus said, "Well, if you knew who it was that was speaking to you, you would indeed ask me for the water of life." She said, "Well, you don't even have a cup. I'm the one with the cup, and you saying, you can give me the water of life? How is that possible?" And Jesus tells her, go get your husband, but You don't have just one husband, do you? The man that you're living with is not really your husband, and you had a couple other husbands before that, haven't you? And she's amazed. And she starts to give excuses of why and how this isn't going to work, because you're a Jew and Jews worship in Jerusalem, and we Samaritans, we worship at a different mount. And so it just won't work. And Jesus goes on and explains things to her and tells her he's come with the water of life. I think this beginning of chapter 4 here explains to us just the significance of Jesus reaching out to everyone, no matter what their background, and offering them life, offering them joy, offering them healing in their souls, in their bodies. And this woman is quite taken aback, but she believes Jesus. She believes that what he has said, that he indeed is the Messiah, and she goes to proclaim that to the townsfolk. She runs into town and tells everybody, and they say, well, let's go see this man. Let's go see this one that you speak of, if he indeed is the Messiah. And then it says at verse 39, many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and they stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you have said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. He's not just for the Jews. He's even for us, the most despised Samaritans. So we see in this beginning of this chapter 4, we see that Jesus is for everyone, everywhere, all the time. He's just not for one race, one people, one time. And so we come to this passage where he involves himself in healing of a nobleman's son or an official's son, as this NIV chapter records it. And I would love to read this section to you at verse 43 down to 54. It says, there after 2 days he left for Galilee. Now Jesus himself had pointed out that a prophet has no honor in his own country. When he had arrived in Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him. They had seen all that he had done in Jerusalem and at the Passover festival, for they also had been there. Once more, he visited Canaan in Galilee, where he had turned the water into wine. And there was a certain royal official whose son lay sick in Capernaum. When the man heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and begged him to come and heal his son, who is close to death. Unless you people see signs and wonders, Jesus told him, you will never believe. The royal official said, sir, come down before my child dies. Go, Jesus replied, your son will live. The man took Jesus at his word and departed. And while he was still on the way, the servant met him with the news that his boy was living. When he inquired as to the time when his son had gotten better, they said to him, yesterday, at 1 p.m, the fever left him. Then the father realized that this was the exact time at which Jesus had said to him, your son will live. So his whole household believed. This was the second sign Jesus performed in the coming from Judah to Galilee. Again, remember that this account of the healing of the nobleman's son was in way of a second miracle, the first being the changing of the water to wine, and that also being performed in Canaan. And so Jesus comes back to Canaan and performs this second miracle of an official son being healed. from the disrespect of the Samaritan woman, Jesus then hears from a respected nobleman, an unrespected to a respected. The man departs with the health of his son. The nobleman had heard of Jesus' miracle. He had heard that the water had been turned to wine. And he comes 20 miles from Capernaum down to Canaan to beg Jesus. It's interesting, too, that Jesus' mother told him, can you do anything? The wine has run out. And she tells the servants, do whatever he says to do. And Jesus says, fill those urns, those vessels with water. And the water turns to wine. And here in turn, a father comes for the sake of his son, that he might be healed because he's at death's door. We don't know anything more about this nobleman, other than it says here in our text that he was a royal official, probably of Herod's court, a man of some respect, of some honor, of some distinction. People would have seen him pass. He probably wore some robes or something that marked him as a royal official. And yet Jesus says here to the people at verse 48, unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. There was no respect for Jesus, even in his own area of Galilee, where people had known him and he had grown up. The nobleman begs him, sir, please heal my son. Heal my son. Here is an honoring of Christ. Here is a believing that indeed he could do something that this father needed desperately, the healing of his son. A nobleman. He could have had anything he wanted at the snap of his fingers, probably because he had respect, he had honor, he probably had wealth at his disposal. Yet he comes to Jesus and honors Jesus. Here in the honoring of Jesus, he believes in him. How is honor shown? In 1 Peter 2:7, it says, now to those who believe, this stone is precious. This cornerstone is precious. This Jesus is precious. Do you treat Jesus as precious? Do you honor him? I see that you do, and that you've come here to Westwood Alliance Church to honor him, to glorify him, to praise him this morning. As we sang, he even gives the breath in our lungs. He gives us our very corporal life in way of our physical life. But he also gives us very much more in way of our spiritual life. Philippians 3:8 says, what is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ. Honoring Christ, elevating Christ as hugely significant in our lives. The man was not thrown off easily when Jesus told him and rebuffed him that people come looking for signs and wonders. He had an urgency. His son was close to death. Conveying in this conversation in verse 48 and 49, unless you people see signs and wonders, Jesus told him, you will never believe. The royal official said, sir, come down before my child dies. Go, Jesus replied, your son will live. Go, Jesus replied, your son will live. The man believes and leaves. He goes as Jesus has commanded him to. We find out that the boy is indeed healed at that very hour that Jesus had spoken the word to him. The nobleman, the man of Herod's court, began in crisis. His son was dying. Many people come to Christ that way, don't they? They come in crisis mode. They come wondering, how could life be so bad and terrible? But yet herein, Jesus gives him confidence, speaks to him, and commands him, go. Jesus' word changes everything. From crisis to confidence to change. Honor comes with seeking, praying, believing, and trusting his word. The second sign is given in verse 54. We see, first of all, there's a sign over the time in the first miracle that Jesus has committed in way of him turning water to wine. Usually there's a long length of time that has to happen, doesn't there, for fermentation to happen, for wine to be produced. But instantly, the wine is produced from water. A miracle of time and a miracle of minuscule proportions. Details at the microscopic and the level of atoms changing to be able to form water into wine. And then we see Jesus doing the second miracle that happens at a great distance. He just speaks a word and 20 miles distance in Capernaum, the son is healed. A distance so great, and yet Jesus' word has power even at great distance. And not just a small miracle, a great miracle from death to life. So over the small things and over the large things, Christ has command. He speaks and there's change. There's healing. And so, as we look at Isaiah 55:6, it says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near." Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." The nobleman came honoring Jesus, came begging him, "Heal my son." We want to give you an opportunity at this point to call upon the name of the Lord, to ask for water of eternal life that he alone can give. We know that through prayer, God hears and God answers. And so we've asked three of our ministry couples here in the church to stand before you and to give opportunity for you to come and to be prayed for healing of what might ail you or might what ail a family member. It is all welcomed. We will anoint according to James chapter 5 on the forehead, a symbol of a cross, to mark God's Holy Spirit upon you. God pours out his Spirit, it says, on his people. We want to welcome you to come to the front to be prayed for, and I'm going to call Jim and Velma up and Joe and Monique and my wife and I. We're going to stand over on this side, and Jim and Velma here and Joe and Monique over there. And as you feel led, would you come forward and be prayerful in your coming? We've already had the occasion of opportunity to confess our sins. We need to be clean vessels in seeking Jesus this morning. So come confessing your sins to him. And then we ask you to not spend an inordinate amount of time talking to our fellows, but just to tell them what it is that is ailing them or you in way of maybe a family member or maybe yourselves, and we'll pray over that need that you have. We also want to give the occasion for you to get together, those of you that aren't coming with a physical need or a spiritual need or some other need to the front. We want to give occasion for you to have a time of prayer as well. And I got on the PowerPoint here a few requests in way of healing. We want you to be gathering in groups of maybe 2, 3, 4 people and be praying over some of these requests. Now, we ask you not to spend a lot of time introducing yourselves. Hi, my name is Sally. Well, that's not my name, but, you know, hi, my name is Sally. What's your name? How's it going? How was your week? Start chit-chatting like that. We would like you to go directly to prayer. So here are some of the items we'd like you to pray for. Pray for those that would be coming down and needing prayer today. Pray for grace and mercy upon people, us, as well as those that are in our community. Pray for forgiveness. We all need forgiveness for our sins, those wrongs that we've committed. Pray for a sense of unity. Pray for God's glory to be seen amongst us this morning as we commit these ones that come forward for prayer. Now, would you gather in small groups? Or if you're gathering in a small group and you'd love to come forward and have one of our couples pray for you, you're more than welcome to do that. But now is a time to draw close to God. This isn't anything that we're doing. We're calling upon the Lord God Almighty. And as Dave Hearn said in his article, we're looking for the supernatural, God's work in our midst. It's not something that we are accomplishing. It's something we're seeking God to accomplish through us. So if you would be so bold to do that this morning, and then I'll close our time together in a time of prayer, and then there's a little bit more I'd like to preach on in John chapter 5 as Jesus heals at the pool of Bethsaida to encourage us further in the way of healing. So as you feel led, get together with a few people around you to pray over a few of these items. If you feel led to come to the front, we'd love to pray for you. Whichever couple is not busy, come down. If you want to pick a particular couple and they're busy, you can come down and sit in the pew in front and quietly pray over these few items and just wait for a break in the flow of traffic, and we'll just take it one at a time. May God bless us and strengthen us through this opportunity that we take today to pray for healing and God's blessings upon us. Let's do that now, shall we? Lord Jesus, we come before you and we recognize you as the healer. And Lord, despite all of our medical intervention and our pharmaceuticals that we have available, Lord, we know that it's of you that our bodies can be healed. Only the treatment of our bodies through medical means can have some benefits to us, but we know of the greatest accord and even beyond what medicine can provide for us. Lord, you indeed are the one that knows us and can do amazing things in our physical bodies, our emotional bodies, our spiritual body. Lord, we present ourselves to you and thank you for your grace, even in hearing all these prayers that were offered on behalf of those that we love, those that we care for deeply, those that have been ailing, and also ourselves, Lord. We thank you for hearing our prayers, and we ask that you would reign sovereign and complete in our lives and in this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. At John chapter 5, we read, sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now they're in Jerusalem near the Sheep Gate, a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here, a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there, who had been an invalid for 38 years, when Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat and walk." At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. The day in which that took place was a Sabbath. And so the Jewish leader said to the man who had been healed, "Is it the Sabbath? The law forbids you to carry your mat." But he replied, "The man who made me well said to me, 'Pick up your mat and walk.'" So they asked him, "Who is this fellow who told you to pick up your mat and walk?" The man who had healed had no idea who it was, for Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there. Later, Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, "See, you are well again. Stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you." The man went on his way and told the Jewish leaders that it was Jesus who had made him well. Jesus' first two miracles are rather quiet. But we see in this miracle something that is more public, something that was done on the Sabbath. Jesus comes to the pool of Bethesda to heal, where there are many people that need healing, are invalids, yet he chooses one person to heal. The group gathered by the pool believed in something miraculous in the waters. Somehow they felt that if they could get down to the waters when there was a stirring of the water, maybe some bubbling from the spring underneath, maybe they could receive a healing. But at that time they felt that no, this was not happening for them, and even this man had been coming to the pool for so long, yet they still superstitiously believed that there was some medicinal healing work that was to be had in these waters. Jesus directs the man's attention to himself, tells him, "Take up your mat and walk." A man that hadn't walked for so many years, had believed superstitiously in these waters. And yet, there was something in the voice of Jesus, something in the commanding word of Jesus, something supernatural that enabled him to reach down and pick up his mat and to walk. The supernatural happens not just with superstitious activity or even through medical means, but more so by the word and the work of God in our lives. Jesus doesn't rebuke him for holding on to his superstitions. He simply directs his attention away from the water to himself. Dead religion holds on to rules. Alive religion holds on to Jesus. I think all of this guy's chums at the pool, seeing him strolling around, must have just had their mouths drop open and their eyes kind of bug out, like, this guy must have got into the pool ahead of us. At least they thought that, but then he said, no, it's Jesus that has done this. None of these guys met Jesus, but only one man had met Jesus. The instruction to the church is to pray for those who are sick. Pray for healing, believing in God's power to heal, to honor God. Some of us aren't healed. Some of us go on into eternity not being healed, and all of us must pass from this life into the next over maybe some medical reason, some lack of healing in our bodies. We are given in this life to death, but in the life eternal to come, we shall never die. And there'll be a day when every tear will be wiped away and we'll understand the sufferings of this life as something so small in comparison to the great joy and rich reward that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. I ask our worship team to come and lead us in a song of healing this morning.
The scripture commands us to pray in faith for healing. We did just that. The scriptures also commanded us to worship in faith. So if this is the God that you trust can heal you, and you want to respond in faith this morning, I just want to invite you to stand and just lift up your voices, your hands to the heavens, and trust that He is the healer of your souls and of your physical needs. My every moment, you calm my raging sea, you walk with me through fire and heal all my disease. I'll trust in you, I trust in you, I believe you're my healer, I believe you are all I need. I believe.
the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Please be seated. I have a PowerPoint slide that I'd like to show you of our work in Nanaimo this past weekend. It was a great opportunity for 18 people. I see Anthony checking his watch there. I saw that, Anthony. I realize we're late, but I just wanted to share this with you quickly. So let's take a moment and take a look at some of these slides. Next slide. We had a lot of contributors. Sorry, Anthony, I shouldn't have pointed you out like that. You can come back to me later. So we had so many people that gave donations, towels, soap, shampoo. People were praying for this. Our high tea service of our young people, all that money collected from that, all went to help provide for our ramp that we produced. There was cash donations, promotions, training leaders. The Nanaimo Alliance Church donated their facility for us to be there. We also had our small groups baking cookies and all kinds of things. Naomi told me that we had leftovers from the cookies. Those were going to be frozen, and they'll be continued used by the First Nations Victory Church there. So thank you so much for all that have contributed to make this successful first work that we've done in the First Nations in Nanaimo. So the high tea contributions, next slide. These were our team that went out, 18 people in all. Next slide. This was the truck that we took, one of the trucks. We had four vehicles that went out. Hughes loaded up his vehicle full of all kinds of construction materials, and we went out to Nanaimo together. Next slide. These were our teams that went out. The first group was the foursome, and then the rest of the three vehicles. We got a warm welcome there from our people. June is in the middle there. We took apart the ramp. Yeah, thanks, Steph. We took apart the ramp. Next slide. And then rebuilt it. Next slide. Here's us building the ramp. Next slide. The old ramp, new ramp. I think it was, where's Hughes, $400, $500 that we paid for it? $600 something. Okay, so we used up all the contributions that we received for cash for it. But they were really amazed at how we were able to rebuild that in 2 days. I think Ben is flashing the peace sign there. I think that's victory, but that's also 2 days. Next one. These are our guys that contributed and worked on the ramp together. Next. Blessing bags. We went out and visited our community, knocked on doors. All these bags were produced by Divina and also Heather. All the sewing of all these bags. And, of course, all the contributions that went into the bags. Next. These are some instructions as we went out and visited people. Next. This is one of the gentlemen, Willie, who was carving a totem that we visited. And all of us had to get our pictures around him. Picture of Hughes meeting some of the little girls in the neighborhood. Next. We were given a salmon. Going around, we were giving bags, but they gave us a salmon. So it's amazing. Next. Children's ministry had great opportunity. All the kids came to the church on Sunday. And we ran all kinds of children's programs for them. Keep going. Had puppet shows, had music ministry for them. Next. And then we had our worship service. Had lots of people come from our community, both from a Korean church and also from the reservation. Of course, food was a big part of our ministry. So we had lots of food preparation. The ladies did an amazing job cooking for us. Of course, there was the eating, which was significant. We all enjoyed the food very much. more food eating was happening, lots of food eating. And then we got ready to go, and it was a great opportunity for us to bless the people there. Two short days, but what a great ministry. Next slide. They gave me a hat, and OB got a hat as well. So I needed a new hat, and so we're so thankful that they welcomed us back, honored us, and said, when are you coming back next? So we were there, and now we're here, and thank you for all your prayers for making this a possibility for us as a church. Praise God, right? Thank you. Please go out in a word of prayer and be dismissed. And as you go, pray that God will continue to bless the First Nation Church and the people there in Nanaimo, that we'll continue to have some kind of work amongst the people, and also that you'll bless those that have been seeking healing in their physical bodies and the needs of our church and also our community. May God bless you as you go into your week. Thank you.